Praise God. Praise God. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And I want to read two verses, verses 14 and 15. While you're finding that, we go back a long ways, but Sister Margaret, Treb and I, and a few more went to Haiti together and never could get her to go back. I just kind of ended that. And I can tell you right now, if you ever go, it'll break you from wanting to go back. I can promise you that. But we certainly appreciated what she contributed to our work in Haiti, and we had a great time, and God was good to us, and we certainly appreciate Margaret very, very much. And please pray for Haiti. Now we're still able to send our money to Haiti, but we can't go ourselves because it's very dangerous right now. And the gangs, about 26 gangs are in charge of Port-au-Prince right now, and they just kill at random. They shoot children on their way to school. Just shoot them and laugh at them when they fall in the street and die. It's sad. But please pray for Haiti. We're believing that God is going to move in a special way and bring again freedom and peace to that nation. So the Lord bless you. Thank you, Brother Denton, for inviting me to come. I called about a jar of honey and got hired to preach tonight. What do you think? Or invited to preach, I should say. God bless you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, began reading with verse 14, reading down verse 14, verse 15. And Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." May God add his blessings now to the reading of his word. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, what an honor it is for me to stand behind this pulpit, for I do believe that greater men and ministries than I have stood, but it has fallen my lot. What an honor it is. I'm both humbled and honored by the fact that you've chosen me for this moment. Now, Lord, make me a blessing to this congregation and to this pastor. I pray that as your word goes forth, you will meet every need, both physically and spiritually. Now, Lord, anoint me to speak for you and not just talk about you to this audience. I pray now that you will anoint the altar service. And again, Father, I ask all of these favors in the name of your Son, Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I want to talk to you for a little while on the subject. The battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. See, the battle you're facing, if you're his child, it's not your battle, but God's. If you're a child of God, you can be certain that Satan will rage against you. Now, you have to understand, he's not raging against you. He's raging against the God that's in you. And we'll clear that up after a while. But I have in my collection of things a little cartoon that it shows a lady answering the door. And as she opened the door, there standing in that door was what the artist depicted as the devil, with his horns and his pitchfork and his forked tail or whatever he's got. And the caption beneath the picture was, as the lady turned back into the house, she said, "Jesus, it's for you." Here in 2 Chronicles, a great host had rallied themselves against Israel, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the inhabitants of Mount Seir. And by the way, the Ammonites and the Moabites was the fallout of the sin of Lot. So keep that in mind. But here they are. They've set themselves in array against Israel, against Judah and Jehoshaphat. Well, Jehoshaphat was a great leader He was a great general. He didn't rally everybody to a quick training session, or he didn't hire any mercenaries to join with him in this battle. He didn't equip them with the latest weaponry, but he called them before the tabernacle of God. He called a fast, and he's praying. They set their hearts, the Bible said, to seek the Lord and to fast. Let me tell you something. You will overcome whatever a problem you're facing, whatever adversary you're facing, whatever situation you find yourself in, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, when you have set yourself to seek God and to fast. Hallelujah. We call for his great power. The king cried to the Lord a prayer that most of us have prayed at one time or another. And that is, we have no might against these that come against us, and neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I'm going to tell you, if you look to him, fasten your eyes on the only solution to your problem. God is still on his throne, and God is still alive, and God answers prayer, regardless of the battle that you may be facing. You see, the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says, came into the midst of the congregation and said, "Be not afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Hallelujah. The battle is not yours, but God. Now, I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Somebody said the Old Testament is God's picture book. Well, we're going to just take a photo, a picture from this picture book and talk about it tonight. Jehoshaphat said, "Art thou our God now?" Now, you have to understand, it would seem that Jehoshaphat is praying in doubt or unbelief, or there's a question here. But actually, he is simply declaring it to be so. "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwell therein, and have built there thee a sanctuary for thy name, saying," listen, when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence. Now, I love this phrase. I love this phrase. Listen to what he said. "For thy name is in the house." Didn't mean it was written on the wall. It meant when you talk about the name of Jehovah, you can't separate that from his abilities and his attributes. And when we say, even here, we use that phrase here, "and thy name is in the house." How many people have been saved here? How many people have been healed here? How many people have their needs have been met here? Amen. I can tell you why. His name is in the house. That's enough to make a mummy want to shout, much less somebody from Oklahoma. I'm telling you, his name is in this house. He has the ability, regardless of what your situation may be. God is still in business. The devil will come to you 1,000 times and tell you there's no use. You might as well quit. God doesn't care. Why has all of this come upon you anyhow? He'll try to inject doubt in your mind and unbelief. But I'm here to tell you, he's a liar. When I met the devil in the Bible the first time, he was lying, and he's been lying ever since. We're not looking at ourselves or our ability to survive, no, but our hope, our trust is in you. You heard the song a few moments ago. Our hope is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Our hope is in Jesus. Oh, yes. He said, "Thy name is in the house. And cry unto thee in our afflictions, and thou wilt hear and help." Now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Now, like verse 11, listen. Behold, I say how they reward us to come and cast us out of, listen, get it, I love this. They've come to cast us out of thy possessions. They didn't say they've come to cast us out of our possessions, but thy possessions. What we have belongs to God. What we have, God has entrusted to us, but it's his. When the enemy comes to destroy us, he's come to destroy the God that's in us, and he cannot and he will not be able to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They've come to drive us out of our inheritance, the inheritance that you've given us, that is thine. Oh, my. Oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, our God, that is, will thou not judge them? For we have no mind against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Hallelujah. You know, Isaiah warned satanic forces. And he said, who have ye reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have ye exalted your voice? Even against the Holy One of Israel. You've heard the story time and time again of David and Goliath. Now, you know, he tried on Saul's armor. Don't try to be an overcomer with somebody else's armor or somebody else's experience. David, when Saul tried his armor, or David tried Saul's armor on, his nose come to probably about the belt buckle high, and that was it. He had all of that metal. I mean, he's loaded down. You can't kill anything if you're loaded down with somebody else's armor to fight. Woo! Come on. He said, this is not my cup of tea. I can't take this. Get me out of here. I can hear it. When he took off the armor of Saul, laid it aside, got his little shepherd sling and his staff, and he headed out. He said, I'll fight him. I've killed a lion. And I brought back the lamb. You know, some people kill lion and lamb and all, you know, and they think they're a great hero. But David knew how to kill the lion and bring the lamb back. That's an art. He knew how to kill the bear and bring the lamb back. That's an art. Oh, yeah. And David said to King Saul, he said, look, buddy, this giant out here bellowing like a bull of Bashan, I can tell you he's no more to me than that lion or that bear. I will fight him. Woo! I love it. I love it. Goliath is bellowing, send me a man to fight. Everybody was afraid. Everybody was scared. You know, David's father, Jesse, sent David down to the battle for a reason. He said, take this food down there, these victuals down, and give it to your brothers, and see how the battle's going. Well, here Saul is. He's under the bed. He's scared out of his wits. He just knew it'd be over for him if he got out there. Nobody's big enough, nobody's strong enough, nobody's mighty enough to battle this Goliath. But when David stepped in, one commentary said he was about old enough to escort the virgins of Israel to a dance. He wasn't even shaven yet. Come on. Here he was. He goes out. He stops by the brook. He chooses five smooth stones. Now, somebody said, now, preacher, the reason he got five is because he knew that Goliath had four other brothers, and if he killed one, he's going to have to kill. Oh, come on. I said, I don't believe a word of that. I said, for what it's worth, there's five letters in the word grace, and David knew that the grace of Almighty God was sufficient to slay this giant, and he wasn't going to give up until he saw it work. This giant roaring said, oh, they've come to intimidate me. I put it in my words. They've sent a boy out here. Who you think you're fighting? A dog? You got a stick and a slingshot? Come here, I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. I'll take care of you. David didn't say, now, Mr. John, if you don't mind, we need to kind of get together and negotiate some here, maybe have a little talk, see if we come to some kind of compromise. No, he didn't. He said, you come to me, against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And the Bible said he ran to meet him. Hallelujah. When faith is in control, fear has no place. We don't run from it. We run to the solution to the problem, and God answers our prayers. He ran to meet him. Listen to what he said. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Wow. What am I preaching about tonight? Can you tell me? The battle is not yours, but God's. It belongs to him. So we know what we're fighting and who we're fighting. We're not fighting each other now. Oh, no, we don't do that. We're fighting the devil. We're winning. Hallelujah. I said we're winning. Great Lord. Great Lord. You know, what I like about it is the way Jehoshaphat, his battle strategy to war against this great host. Can you imagine such a number against Israel? He got out there. Here, I love this. And he sent the preachers before him. Yeah, let's go sing. Let's sing. Let's worship God as we go to meet him. Yes, sir. They sang under the holiness of God. And the Bible said that all they had to do was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're in a battle. I don't have to tell you that. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. We're facing an enemy that doesn't like us, doesn't like the God within us. Things will come, trials, tests, pains, problems, difficulties. They're going to come. We're going to face it. We're here in this world. Now, if you ever think for one time in your life that you're never going to have problems, then I can promise you, you're on a different planet than we are. Hello. Amen. I just read it today in the book of Job. A man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Wow. Wow. So it is. But we have to understand. We have to understand that the battle is the Lord's. We have to understand that. You see, God told his people and he tells us the battle's not against you. It's Satan's rage against me, against the Lord who abides in you. God says to Satan, I know where you abide and where you come and go, and your rage is against me. I know who you are. Smith Wigglesworth woke up one night, and he looked into the foot of his bed, was a devil standing there looking at him. And he just looked at him and said, oh, it's you, huh? And he rolled over and went back to sleep. Why would I be afraid? Now, please get this. Why would I be afraid of an enemy that is eternally defeated? If you don't shout on that one, you ain't shouting on none of them. I'm here to tell you. Why should we be afraid of an enemy that is already eternally defeated? The devil's having a conversation. He pulled all his imps around the table in hell. All his little devils and demons, they were there. And they were having a seminar on how to kill saviors. Jesus had just died on Calvary. They put him in a tomb. Here he is. And all of a sudden, there was a knock at hell's door. The devil said, oh, go see who that is. We're trying to have this seminar on how to kill saviors, and we don't want anybody to disturb us now. Well, the imp came back and said, you can't have your seminars on how to kill saviors. Why can't I? I'm the devil. I've already killed one. I can do it. He said, no, you can't. You can't have your seminar. Why can't I? Because he isn't dead yet. He's knocking at your front door. And he said, give me the keys. Why should I be afraid if the devil don't own, even own the key to his front door? Jesus has it. Jesus has it. Where is your battle? Where is your battle? Is it your marriage? Is it your business, your job, your finances, your health? Does your battle get more intense day after day? You see, if you have a heart for Jesus and a desire to cleave to him, you'll face the rage of the hell, but it is still not your battle. A few years ago, my wife and I had fell upon a very difficult time in our lives, and all we had was each other to cling to and support each other. And I'm riding down the highway. I had a big red dually Ford truck. And I'm riding down the highway, and I'm informing God. Has anybody ever took the time to inform God? Have you ever tried to explain it to God? I'm telling God for who laid the rail, honey. I'm letting him have it. You don't understand. You don't know what's going on. When all of a sudden, his presence entered that pickup. And when it did, I heard him say to me, "Do not make me the size of your problem. I am bigger than that." When he said that to me, I shut up. I didn't try to help God anymore. I listened. I'm telling you, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. I shared some of it a few moments ago with Sister Margaret, but in 2023, I was in Germantown, Ohio, and I preached. I had to preach the last two services of a camp meeting. Well, I didn't have to. They asked me, and I preached the last two services of the camp meeting. And the pastor told me before I got there, called me about two or three months before, and he said, "Brother Danny, I need you to come and preach faith to my people." He said, "I've already buried three out of our congregation and people are sick. And I need you to come and preach faith to my people." I said, "Okay." So when I got there, I preached on Sunday morning on the power of faith and the definition of it. And then I preached on the power of faith. Our obedience to the word of God shows how much faith we actually have in God. Obedience and faith, by the way, they go together. That night, they formed a prayer line, and the rostrum was real high in the church, so I pulled me up a chair to the edge of that rostrum, got my oil and my prayer cloths. I preach with prayer cloths in my pocket every time I preach. R.W. Shambach told me one day, he said, "I preach with prayer cloths in my pocket," he said, "because everything about the man of God is anointed." Now somebody said, "Well, now wait a minute, preach, that's way out, China." Oh, no. They took aprons and napkins, the body of the Apostle Paul, and laid it on the sick, and they were healed. Amen. Tell them hello for me when you answer. But I started praying in that prayer line. Everybody in that prayer line was healed that night. I am telling you, I've never seen anything like it. Everybody I prayed for that night in that line was healed. The pastor told me, he said, "Brother Danny, there is no words that I have to even describe this tonight." It was unbelievable. The very next day, that was on the 8th of October, the very next day on the 9th of October, we packed our belongings and headed for Oklahoma. My wife started getting sick. She started throwing up. Her pain was so excruciating until it would hurt you to look at her. And I said, "Let me pull over. Let me stop. Let me take you." "No, no," she said, "get me home. Just get me home." Well, I was cranked. I was running about 85, 90 to get her home. So I finally got her home. She said, "If I can go to bed, I'll be okay." So she went to bed about 10 o'clock that night. And then about 2 o'clock the next morning, she said, "You've got to take me to the hospital. I can't take any of this anymore." She was in bad shape. When I got her to the hospital, she had an inflamed gallbladder full of gallstones. One stone was lodged in the bile duct, and she had pneumonia in her lungs. The doctor came in, his Oriental doctor, Dr. Lee, I won't ever forget him. He came in, he told my wife the situation, and he said to her, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Yes, you sure can." He was a Presbyterian, but honey, he prayed like a Pentecostal. I mean, that Presbyterian knew how to touch God. He prayed. My wife went into surgery that day. They removed her gallbladder, and they said, "We don't know what happened to the gallstone or the pneumonia. It disappeared." I said, I believe I got an explanation for that. When my wife had the surgery, everything looked good. She said, "I felt so good." That night, acute pancreatitis struck her, and she went downhill from there. She had a pseudocyst that came up on her pancreas, and they said eventually it was about the size of a small football. Can you imagine that being in that cavity in your body in such pain? It was unreal, unreal. She had fourth stage kidney failure. Her lungs collapsed. She started filling up with fluid. She had thrush real bad. She was throwing up about 10 times a night, at least. During the day, nothing. She couldn't even drink water. She was on Dilaudid for a while and then went from there to oxycodone or whatever they call it. That stuff's bad news, honey, I promise you. Well, she is in such pain, her pain level never dropped below a 9 pain level. I'm praying. Listen, I just came out of that camp meeting where everybody was healed in that prayer line. I'm praying. I got strong faith. I was praying. I'd go to sleep praying. I'd wake up praying. I quoted scripture. I went back, thought about everything I preached on faith. I'm telling you, I even watched the videos they have online of those faith healers in years past, the Coes and the Allens, that prayed for those people and watched them heal. I prayed every prayer I could pray. Nothing. Nothing. A man called me from Kentucky. A preacher. And he said, "Brother Danny, I've been praying to have a word for you." I said, "What is it? I need all the help I can get. What is it?" He said, "God has got you in this point, at this point, to prove to the devil that he can't break your faith." Whew. I hope I don't have to go through that again. I mean, the pressure was there. That morning, on the way to the hospital, the devil came in. Has the devil ever visited you? The devil came. Let me tell you what now. If he comes and talks to you, don't you dare say, "Huh? What did you say? Repeat it again." He got in that car. I knew he was there. And I went to screaming. I was screaming as loud as I could scream. Somebody went by. They thought I was crazy. I was screaming as loud as I said. I said, "Devil, I may bury her, but you're not breaking my faith. You're not breaking my faith." When I got to that hospital, we was there all day like it was. At night, I laid my hands on her as I walked out. She looked like she was dead, 114 pounds, hair all coming out. Here she was. I just laid my little hand over on her. And I said, "Jesus, will you heal my wife?" That's all I said. I walked out. I thought she'd be a dead woman the next morning when I walked in. When I walked in that hospital room, she was sitting up in that bed. I said, "How do you feel?" She said, "I feel good. I feel good." She had eaten breakfast that morning, a little bit of eggs and bacon. We stayed around long enough for her to eat a little lasagna and a little salad, took her home, and as Paul Harvey said, the rest is history. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. You know, you can end your battle quickly if you choose. You can do it by just simply quitting and giving up. Yeah. You can end it right there. You see, giving up and giving in to your fears and your desires. What? Satan will not bother you when you give up your confidence in God. He won't bother you anymore. It'll be over. Cast not away, therefore, Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Ooh. I know I'm not supposed to get this excited, but I am. You know why? I believe what I'm telling you. Poke your neighbor and say, wake up, that's good preaching. Come on here. The battle's not yours. I said, the battle is not yours. Yes, the battle is the Lord's, that's true. But we have a part, and that is to trust and believe in the face of hopelessness and what seems to be impossibilities. You call it a revelation, or you call it what you want to call it. Doesn't matter. But the word trust came to me so forcibly. In fact, I preached a whole sermon on it. But the word trust. Trust is more than just having faith. You know what? Have you ever had your son or your, have you ever, you're, as a father, how many of you fathers we have here tonight? A bunch of them. Have you ever had your child stand up on something or maybe on the steps or on the porch or on a chair and you tell them, jump. Anybody ever done that? I'm not going to turn you in to anybody, so. Here's this big hole here. Here's Father. He's standing out here with his hands out. And he's saying, jump. Here stands that child. There's nothing between here and those arms. What is he going to trust in? What is he going to trust in? He's going to trust in that Father that says, jump, I'll catch you. There's nothing to hold to between where he's standing in those outstretched arms but the word of his Father. Woo! Have you ever seen them just shut their eyes and jump? Come on. That's where we are. That's where we have our part to trust the Lord, to believe in the face of hopelessness and what seemed to be impossibility. Isaiah 40 and 27 says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Our faith is not focused on our ability, but our faith is focused on the ability and the attributes of God. I am the Lord thy God, that healeth thee. Wow. Wow. P.C. Nelson was a great preacher, one of the forefathers of the Assemblies of God. He could speak fluently 32 languages. I do good to talk English, and that's not too good. He read his devotion in the Greek. Not me. I just know the little Greek that owns the restaurant. That's all. That's a little Greek I know. But the scripture that says, where Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it thee. Isn't that wonderful? In the Greek, that reads, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it thee. But if he doesn't have it, this is the way it is in the Greek. If he doesn't have it, he'll make it. Whew. Can I get an amen around them scrambled eggs? Woo! He'll make it for you. Oh, great Lord. Great Lord. Faith demands that I turn all my problems and all my critical situations and all my fears and all my anxieties into the hand of the Lord, when I know I've done all I can do and I know my battle is beyond my power, I must turn it in all over to his hands. Give it to God. Give it to God. Our Lord knew the ragings of Satan. I must truly believe that he'll act. He'll bring us through floods and fires and put to chase all spiritual enemies. Here's God's word concerning what he will do. Listen, because of your rage against me, and it has come into my ears, therefore, I'll put a hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way you came. Let me give you a little tip tonight, and I continue to close for you that's interested, but let me give you a little tip. The Bible does not say that your joy is your strength. Does not say that your joy is your strength. If that be the case, I get so frustrated whenever things broke and busted and everybody are trying to tell me to praise God and have joy. How do you do that? How do you do that when you can't hardly see for all the tears that's pouring out of your eyes? How can you do that when the pain is racking your body? How do you do that? Here it is. It's not your joy, but it's his. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you'll hold fast to your faith and trust him, rest. And when the Bible talks about rest, it doesn't mean that you're falling back in your lazy boy. I mean, that's not a child now, that's a chair. You'll get that before you get home. It's not falling back into your lazy boy or crawling into your nice memory foam bed to sleep. Rest means I have given it all to him. And I am at peace with him. Ooh. Hallelujah. I know I shouldn't feel this good on Wednesday night, but I do. Rest in his promise. Reject all lies of Satan coming at your mind. Then expect him to come by his spirit into your situation, that is God, and bring an expected end to your particular battle. God will move heaven and earth to deliver you and make a way. The only way is to try. There's three things that we must do. Let me give you this. There's three things you must do. Number one, trust. Number one. Number two, trust. And knows what number three is. Trust. Trust. You see, in Psalm 46 and 9, he said he makes wars to cease. My trust is God said it. Hallelujah. That settles it. I'm going to commit myself into his keeping. I want to close with this. I ain't out of stuff. I'm just going to close. How many of you like whiners? You like whiners? I've been in some testimony services until I wanted to get up and whine. One lady got up to testify, and she started in. She said, "You know, my children have left me, and my health is broken. I'm just barely getting by." She had me, but wanted to cry with her. But then she said something. I wiped my eyes. I just straightened up. She said, "All I got left is Jesus." That's it, lady. I ain't crying for you. I ain't feeling sorry for you. All I got left is Jesus, really. He's my anointer, my anchor, my advocate, my authority, my alpha, my author. He is blessed. He's my brother. He's the beginning, the buckler, the baptizer, the blessed, the burden bearer. He is Christ of Calvary, my counselor, my creator, my comforter. He is divine. He's my door. He's my direction, my deliverer. He is Emmanuel. He is eternal. He's the end. He's our example. He is father, friend, forgiver, fortress, faith, fountain. He's the giver of grace, glory, and goodness to us. He's our hope, our helmet, our holiness, our happiness, our healer, our high priest, our intercessor, our inspiration. He's our joy, our judge, Jesus, joint heir. He's King of Kings. He's our love, our lamp, our light, our life, the lily of the valley, the holy Lamb of God. He is a merciful master of the universe, our meditator, our mediator, that is, and the morning star, name above all names, the Nazarene. He never fails. He's the only one, the Omega, the omnipotent, the promised one, the purifier, perfecter, purger, provider, protector, the path. He is powerful, Prince of Peace, the potter, the physician. He quickens our spirit. He's the redeemer, the rock, the revelator, the resurrection, the rose of Sharon, the river of life, the restorer, the returning king. He's our strength, our sanctifier, our savior, our salvation, our song, our sword, our shield, shelter. He's our shepherd. He is truth. He's our teacher. He is understanding. He's the unctioning of our spirit. He is the vine. He is victory. He is the well. He's the water in the well. He is the X and Xmas. He is our yoke. He is our zeal. All hell the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall and bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Come on and stand with me and begin to worship God. The battle is not yours.